Well, onliners, send your prayer request in. What was that? You all right back there?
Who?
Sound like somebody was dying back there.
Thank you, Todd. Thank you.
Time of contentment.
BBFOhio@protonmail.com is the email address. I'm trying to get my thing over here. So. Get your hand up if you want a prayer card. And Jenny or Janie one will bring you one. You want a prayer card and a pencil?
You can get one.
I think the live stream volume is satisfactory.
Good check with the people.
And Johnny, last week we weren't zoomed in, so I just want to make sure that we are. This takes a little extra time to edit when we do that. And the check, sound check, you want to do that real quick since we didn't earlier? All right. And there's your reminder. Silence your cell phones.
That's what that's called.
The Adams would like that one.
Don't get the name, never mind.
The Adams family would like that one. Especially the macabre.
What was it called?
We always have to have a conversation about the background music. We have to put something on there that you guys totally don't have any associations to. We'll see if I can. That'll be the challenge.
Good luck at that.
So anyway, as we get into our current events update, ask you to hold questions and comments to the end. Headline reviews in the news. Number one, Fauci will someday reap what he has sown.
Amen.
Dr. Fauci must be held accountable after report alleges U.S.-funded gain-of-function research at Wuhan Lab, Senator Rand Paul says. What that means is gain-of-function means they took a virus and weaponized it so it'll kill a bunch of people, and that's what COVID-19 is. And it came out of the Wuhan lab, and that man should be hung in public on live television globally. And if you don't feel that way, it's because he didn't kill one of your relatives. Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the U.S. National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, is facing calls to resign after newly released documents allege that the National Institute of Health funded gain-of-function research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology in China, fueling further speculation regarding the origins of the novel coronavirus. That's putting it lightly. The documents make it clear that assertions by the NIH director Francis Collins, another nut, and the NIAID director Anthony Fauci, that the NIH did not support gain-of-function research or potential pandemic pathogen enhancement at the Wuhan Institute, are untruthful, end quote. That's a quote from Richard Ebright, a molecular biologist at Rutgers University. So it's not Greg Miller saying this. And that Francis Collins and Fauci should be begging for forgiveness for crimes against humanity. Ultimately, there is a payday coming. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's Galatians 6, 7. Revelation 20:12 also, in the dead, is at the white throne judgment where Fauci will be if he doesn't repent and believe the gospel. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. In other words, when you go to hell, if you're a Christ-rejecting fool like Anthony Fauci, you will go to hell and you will go to a specific place designated for you based on your works. That's why we say there is and there are degrees of hell. Now, it doesn't mean you should reject the gospel and try to really improve your chances in hell, but God is just. And so not everybody will have the same place in eternal damnation. And number two, killing unborn children is claimed as religious freedom now. Satanists say that the Texas heartbeat law restricts religious freedom by limiting satanic abortion ritual. Most of your Democrats and progressive Republicans, like the Bush family, support that. And that includes our Satanist in chief. Biden says he doesn't believe life begins at conception. That's because you're an idiot and you're devil-possessed. That's why. Labels Texas law almost un-American. In other words, it's almost un-American to protect unborn children from being butchered in the womb.
Oh, wow.
But see, the thing is he's not a real American, so he wouldn't know. You have to be a real American to know a real American. Joe Biden is a traitor who is selling you and your nation out to China. And it's amazing to me, week after week, that Americans are just sitting there and not doing anything about this Democrat Communist Party selling our country out to China. You say, why are they doing it? Because I believe it's spiritual. I believe they are spiritually deluded and prepared and ready for the Antichrist. These people, like that guy up there, if he's still alive after the rapture, will serve the Antichrist. They will take the mark of the beast, and they will be in the forefront of the Antichrist world government. That's what you're seeing right now. If you have any spiritual discernment at all, if you believe this book, then you know what you're seeing is the future soldiers, foot soldiers of the beast. And just like going back to the 1930s in Germany, is just very few Americans who have the brains or the guts or both to say that. That's where we're at. We are in 1930s Germany. But I just believe that the next camps will be the camps that will hold the people under Antichrist who reject the mark and get their heads cut off. I think that's what's coming next. I really do. But the more, I just believe this about God. I mean, throughout the scripture, I see what he's done and throughout history. And if you, as a people, any country, doesn't stand up, then you just, God lets you get what you ask for. And right now, most of this country, most of the Christians in this country are bootlicking sodomites. Yep. And so the sodomites are taking over your schools, they're taking over your churches, they're taking over your government, they've taken over your evening news. You get what you ask for. Now what are they doing? They're raping your babies. They're taking tens of thousands of children under the age of 12 and putting them into sex slavery. They're catching them every day. I got on Telegram, I don't have my phone, so I can't show you. On Telegram, I'm on a page where it shows every day school teachers, attorneys, doctors, pastors, politicians, all involved in sexually abusing children. This isn't something that's happening once or twice a week. Every day, the headlines in all 50 states. Why? Because the majority of Americans have totally handed themselves over to Sodom. And God says, that's what you want, that's what you get. Proverbs 8:36 says, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. And the Democrat Party loves death. Progressive Republicans love death. Independent socialists, Marxists love death. And that's the majority of people in this country if you add all those guys up. The majority in this country love death. You know, and not only do they support abortion, just turn on the news and look at these guys. They push and push and push for the killing of the unborn and the sodomite agenda. And then when they get tired of it, what do? They blow their heads off or hang themselves or pop pills and whatever and kill themselves. They've served death their whole life and their last act is to murder themselves. And then you got these guys, just I think it's just in the last couple of weeks, I don't even remember all the names of these comedians who are dying because they're all doing dope and getting dying of fentanyl. Katie, I can't remember her name. I don't know all these guys who don't watch me. There's a lady named Katie and another guy named... I don't think I put it in here. I was going to put their pictures in here and show you. Just do a little research on it. You're going to see it. All these guys committing suicide, and they're people who've spent their lives pushing death. Just an amazing thing. We are children of light. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We love life. We love light. We are opposed to darkness. We are opposed to, and that's called sin. And we need to, as a body, a local church, a family, be committed to standing against sin, come what may. Because many of your friends and relatives and neighbors call themselves Christians are accommodating sin in their homes and in their churches. And if you take a stand against it, you'll be the freak. You'll be the one they'll turn on. So you got to make your decision now that you're going to stand against that kind of stuff. And more could be said, but that's the end of that. Anybody want to make a comment or question? There's Janie first.
Come back on that about Biden. I was watching America Voice and the speech that he made when he talked about the abortion. He made a comment and he said, how do you say it now? He said something about, he says, well, he said, yeah, they say that it should be like that. And what he did is he backstabbed himself. He said something about, he says, yeah, I know. Well, that's supposed to be true, but I don't think that I like that. I don't think that's the way it should be, is the way he put it. And I'm like, I wanted to go through the TV set and hit him in the face.
The lies are never ending.
He backstabbed himself, as well as Texas, as well as everybody all over the U.S. and the whole world.
Mary, you had your hand on this?
I will talk to you about it later.
Okay.
Because I'm not sure about if it's accurate or if it's just something.
Okay. Jill?
I heard a lady on, probably on Flintbeck, talking about how she had, her school had done some kind of a transgender thing for the kids. They were making them watch a movie and everything. Well, she got up in arms about it, and they apologized. Then she found out by talking to her son that months later, her son says, oh yeah, about once a week they ask me if I still think I'm a boy.
Oh, wow.
After she got rid of that, they're still trying to make the poor kid not know what sex is.
Can you say homeschool?
Yeah. Can you say I did?
That's what the Hilliard School they're doing. The first day of school they ask the children's pronouns and their preferred name.
Oh my goodness.
Actually, I saw an article from some progressive-minded person, and it's funny because there's infighting among them, and they were saying that they should stop limiting themselves by conforming to, like, for doing the gender reassignment stuff. Stop limiting themselves by adhering to the binary concept. And it's like, it's just funny because they're trying, like, you know, there's all these people pushing for kids to start transitioning as young as 4. And then there's doctors coming out all over the place that are saying how terrible of an idea it is. And there's a psychologist that was saying, like, she's twisting their own logic against them to say that by conforming to this idea of transitioning,
it's hard to keep up with the insanity, in other words. Mark?
Yeah, you know, I've been trying to find a medical doctor down there. And the questions that they ask you on these applications for, I mean, I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah.
And it's so offensive.
How many pages is it?
That oh, it's about you had six to... pages. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Look like a little book.
And they talk, they ask you, are you male, female? Are you sure you know what you are? All this kind of stupid stuff. I mean, I'm an adult here. I said, I ought to know what I am.
Mark, would you like a picture?
I'll just put Billy Ray at the end of his commentary. In about time, somebody doing something. That's the way I feel about it.
Yeah. It's, you know, that's where you come, the church, and we talk about this kind of mostly to air things out, just get it off our chest. But also, it's, you know, sometimes you just want to get around people and understand that you're not really crazy. That, I mean, there are other people who still believe the Bible and still have their wits about them. Yeah, Jessica?
Okay. Well, about what you said and about what you were saying in the thing. Because I sit here and I think, because you talk about Americans not doing anything.
There's 320 million people in this country, and there's probably about a million people who are doing something.
So should we be doing something?
Yeah, you. Say I've got to be very careful. I'm trying not to use the wrong language. You should be ticking off about everybody you know. Just about everybody you know should hate you.
Well,
and then you come here to get fellowship and love. You pray and you have a relationship with the Lord. But outside of that, probably 9 out of 10 people out there ought to hate your guts. And if that's happening or that starts happening, then you know you're doing the right thing. I mean, I tell people all the time, it's hard for people to understand, so I try to be very ginger in the way I explain it. But my daughters hate me. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I don't care. If they repent, welcome home. But if not, they're going to face judgment. And I'm not going with them. And I have aunts and uncles. I have cousins the same way. Haven't talked to some of them in years and don't care if I ever do. I've talked to them about Jesus Christ and the gospel. I've loved them. I've been as open to discussion as possible. I've not condemned them, and they hate my guts, and I know it, and I don't give a flip. I care about what God thinks of me, and if you love God, and you love God, and you love God, and you're saved by the blood of Jesus, and you love me, that's what I care about. But as far as anybody who's, I don't care if they call themselves Christian. You can call yourself a Christian. Hitler called himself a Christian. Call yourself a Christian. But if you believe it's okay to kill babies, you're not my brother or sister in Christ. If you believe sodomites should be accommodated, you're not my brother or sister in Christ. If you believe that we should have our guns confiscated so we become slaves, you're not my brother or sister in Christ. Jesus said to sell your scrip and buy a sword. That's Christianity. So one thing after another, go down the line. If you're not standing with the Word of God and you're going to stand against God, you're the enemy of God, you're my enemy. That's what you do. That's your attitude when you walk out that door. And if the people who aren't right with God hate you, then you're doing what you can do.
Now, you're very vocal. And that's good. That's wonderful. And I love how you are, Pastor. And I try.
That's all you're supposed to do.
But I think, should we come together and go and do this and do something big and
no, you do. No, I don't do that. What I'm telling you to do, what I believe, I do what the Bible says, and that is in your daily life, you live for the Lord. And when someone comes across in your path, and they confront you and try to rebuke you for serving the Lord, you rebuke them. You stand your ground.
Stand for the truth.
Stand for the truth. Yeah. I'm not talking just pick fights and that kind of thing, but I'm just saying you don't have to. If you stand for the Lord, you're going to find yourself. You stand, you know, you're in your family room or you're in a relative's family room, Why is it okay for someone to flap their jaws over there promoting abortion and sodomites and everything else, and you're supposed to stay silent? Those days are over, folks. Don't do that. If you're in a family gathering and they run their mouth, you run yours. That's the only way things are going to change in this country. One more, and we got to stop, Johnny, or I'm going to go off.
Yeah, we're definitely in trouble if they're able to uphold abortion because of a religious exemption. Because once they do that, I mean, it would make sense why they have no problem with the Muslims then. Because isn't it part of their religion to kill people?
I can't say this firsthand. I haven't seen video, but I've been told that what's happened is there are abortion doctors who perform abortions for Satanists as they're doing ceremonies. They're doing a ritual, and they're murdering a baby in the middle of that ritual. And that is your government endorsing and accommodating that. That's why I love America. I love my Constitution. But you know what? After the rapture, God destroy America. After the rapture and we're out of here, God level the place. They are earning everyone that's killed in the Great Tribulation period. Did I scare her?
She's jumping a little bit.
You'll get used to it. You'll get used to it. Of course, you know, around the house, I'm sure she hears plenty of it with her kids there all day. So I got that going for me. But I'm telling you, I love America. Wave that flag. But as soon as the rapture's over, this nation has earned a complete bloody Holocaust. And that's what I think is going to happen after the rapture.
Well, I believe it too.
Amen. All right. Well, let's open with a word of prayer and get into a Bible study. We're going to talk a little bit about the individual situation behind all this, really, as we get into James 4. All right. Let's ask Brother Doug if you would open Bible study prayer. Ezra just found out he's not real good at doing the splits. I think he slipped on the coloring books. What happened? It's all right. All right. James 4, 5. Did you all eat, by the way? Okay. James 4, 5. The Spirit that dwelleth in us. Some misunderstanding about this passage that we're going to address. The Spirit that dwelleth in us, James 4, 5. Give me just a second to get there. I'll have you read it with me. If you think it's good to have all balls back in the house with us, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I think everybody said amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jessica.
Sorry. I'm slow on things.
No, we appreciate it. We appreciate the enthusiasm.
All right, James 4, 5, y'all there?
Yeah.
All right, read with me. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Amen?
Amen.
See that question mark at the end there? He's asking a question. James continues to pinpoint the source of our troubled hearts. What I mean by troubled hearts, I'm not talking about broken hearts, although that's a very important topic. When I say troubled hearts, I mean our hearts are where the trouble comes from. We've talked about in past studies, do not obey Hallmark. Hallmark movies. They've got some good family movies and all that, but about a third of them, you'll hear them say, trust your heart. Go with your heart. That's the worst advice anybody will ever give you. Unless by your heart Thy word have I hid in my heart.
Amen.
So if by your heart you mean going by the word of God in your heart, that's different. But your heart and my heart left on its own is good for nothing. It's as bad as any Democrat on the planet. It is wicked and satanic, just like the Democrat Party agenda. The Democrat Party platform is satanic, but your heart and my heart is just as bad. You know what? And it goes for, you take all these rhino and neocon Republicans who get together at this Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission and the Bohemian Grove meetings. You know what that stuff is about? The ones who don't, I'm telling you, you really don't know much of anything about your government unless you figure out what's going on at these secret meetings. That's where you find out your government. I mean, when someone as wicked as Richard Nixon can say that the Bohemian Grove was about the most faggoty thing he'd ever seen in his life, and that's where a lot of your presidents are really chosen. In the past, a lot of the presidents have picked by the insiders at Bohemian Grove with all these male prostitutes running around servicing your politicians. And then they have a big satanic ceremony at the end with a big, huge owl. And they have they call the cremation of care. And they float this thing across the lake, and they say it's a, what do you call that?
Effigy.
But there's others who say that they actually have dead bodies. One guy said he believed they got it from people who have donated their bodies to science. Others think there's actual killings going on. I don't know one way or the other, but I know it's satanic, whatever's going on. And they have this, have any of you ever seen the Bohemian Grove the cremation of care? The rest of you need to go out there and watch it. It's available online. Why? Because that's who's running your country. You need to know this stuff. And they are kind of a picture on the top level of society of what's in the hearts of the men and women in this country. When you see all that satanic stuff, you realize that's your country. When God looks down on this country, that's what He sees. He sees the hearts of the everyday Jack and Joe and Jill who are voting, not spelled with a J, not with a G, who vote for people who push the abortion agenda or push the sodomite agenda or push the gun control agenda or push socialism and Marxism. God sees beyond this and sees their heart. And when you see this stuff going on, these big secret societies and the Freemasons and all that stuff, you're looking at what a kind of a symbol of what God is seeing when He looks down on this country. Do ye think that the Scripture saith? I just had to stop there for a second. This is Scripture with Scripture. All the time, almost every study, I have a slide I slip in that says Scripture with Scripture. I'm brainwashing you. I hope you realize that. I'm brainwashing. I want you to be totally brainwashed into believing what the Bible says is the authority, and the best commentary on the Bible isn't 1-800-GREG-MILLER or gregmiller.com, but neither is it any of your other preachers with their own domain names. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. Scripture with Scripture. Do you think that the Scripture saith? That's it. So it appears, though, that James is not quoting a verse when he says this, but he's summarizing biblical truth about the spirit of man in man. When it says, the spirit that dwelleth in us, do you think that the Scripture saith in vain? We're repeatedly told something about the spirit of man, and God's not just blowing hot air. But think about it. If God is repeatedly telling us that the heart of man is wicked, and that's Jeremiah 17:9. Do you go back and you remember in Genesis when God is about to destroy man, minus Noah, his wife, and his three sons and their wives, 8 people. Some believe there were billions of people on the planet. And now we use them, we call it gasoline, coal. Yeah. That's billions of human beings God destroyed. along with other animals and other mammals and that sort of thing. And why did he do that? Because he saw that their thoughts were only evil continually. When he destroyed Sodom, what did he say? Anybody remember? What did he say about Sodom? Anybody?
I know it's something about, like, something is coming up to me.
Well, the cry of Sodom, yeah.
Yeah.
And it said that they were exceedingly wicked. And over throughout the scripture, when God rebukes Israel before he destroys them numerous times in the book of Judges, and when he's about to have Nebuchadnezzar come down, well, before that he had the kingdom of Assyria come down and destroy the northern tribes. And then later, Babylon comes down and destroys the southern tribes. And every time he had the prophets out there saying, "You people are so wicked. Your hearts are so wicked. Don't you see how wicked you are? You're so wicked, I'm going to destroy you." And what they do? Well, the same thing you'll get at the political rallies. Same thing you get at the Antifa rallies and Black Lives Matter rallies. They give God the middle finger. Did you see they had a big day? I think it's already happened, like August 11th, where at a certain time of the day, everybody was supposed to be standing outside and flipping God off.
Wow.
Millions of people. And then before that, you remember they had the thing where people would go on YouTube and blaspheme the Holy Ghost? You remember that? That's a thing. Charlie?
When I was a younger Christian, I didn't understand how, like, when we would see, like, I'd hear you preach about people being cast into the lake of fire and us saying amen.
Yeah.
And then now, when you look at what's going on, especially in big cities, but also if you look at the Muslim world, the wickedness is so astonishing.
It is.
That, like, you can't help but pray for God's return and God's
judgment. Yeah. Folks, I have never stood up here and given you even a 1% idea of the evil that's taking place right now on this planet. I wouldn't do that to you. I don't do that to myself. I see enough to remind myself. But if you saw just in the next 5 minutes all the evil things going on this planet, it would drive you insane. That's how wicked this world is. And so when the time comes, they're cast in the lake of fire, none of us are going to be protesting. He says, do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Now, is your Bible there? You look down. There's the word spirit in a small caps?
Yes.
You know why? That's you. That's me. That's the spirit in us. It's not God's spirit. And there's been misunderstanding about this. People have preached, actually. I've heard them preach it. And talk that this is talking about God's spirit. And that God's spirit in us lusteth to envy. And they turn this twisted thing, and I won't even get into it. But it's talking about the spirit that dwelleth in us. My spirit, your spirit, is fallen, sinful, wicked. And that's why I won't go off on this. But, you know, I've tried to tell everybody, I believe Christians can be devil-possessed. I believe your body, not your soul, your soul's eternally saved, but your body is not. And just like a virus can get in you, so can a devil. And I tell you that because if you think you can't be devil-possessed, you've already taken one step toward being devil-possessed. It's people who don't put up the guard, that have their guard down, that Satan's able to possess. And I know Christians, and I believe they're saved. But Christians have decided it's okay for them to watch these satanic horror flicks. Others who believe it's okay to watch pornography. Others who listen to music that's nothing but satanic trash. It's my liberty as a Christian to do this. And I don't know what, you know, I don't spend a lot of time watching that garbage, so I don't know everything's out there. But this is between you and God. But if you are opening yourself up to that kind of influence in your life, and you don't think you can be possessed by a devil, strike two. And you don't think you'll reach a point? How many Christians you know that don't, even if you think they live for God or something, and bad stuff happens, and then all of a sudden you see them totally turn on God. I know I'm not alone. You seen that? You know why that happens? Because they thought they were too big to fall. They opened themselves up. They filled their heart and mind with satanic crap. And then the bad stuff comes. Life gets rough. And they get mad at God. Boom. Down to the count. I believe in the Bible talks about people making shipwreck of their faith. Many times it's devil possession that does it. Now, I'm not talking about the Hollywood version. You know, your head flips around, you vomit pea soup and that kind of stuff. I'm talking about, you know, your body becoming a tool for the devil, including what we've been reading about in James, that tongue. And now somebody wants to argue and say, well, I believe that's oppression, devil oppression, whatever. If Satan has control of your tongue is possessed. He possesses it. He has it. If Satan has your eyeballs, and Satan glues your eyeballs to porn or bloody violence or whatever, things you're not supposed to be looking at, who's got control of your eyes?
Satan.
Satan, right? Now, you allowed that to happen, so you can't say, you know, it's not Flip Wilson. The devil made me do it, you know. The devil didn't make you do it. But you gave your eyes, maybe you gave your ears, you gave your tongue, your hands over. To who?
Satan.
Satan or a devil. You know, Satan's not omnipresent. He can only be at one place at one time. I've never felt like I was important enough for Lucifer himself to bother with me. But he's got hordes of devils. And if you open yourself up to it, I know a Christian kid who opened himself up. Dungeons and Dragons, satanic music, filled his heart. He became just vile. That was back in the 90s. You know how many times I've seen that since? And a lot of times, their loved ones don't want to even entertain the fact that they might be possessed by devils. Because it's against their theology. They deny what they see with their eyes. Well, one of the reasons this happens is because the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. That small s is talking about our spirit, not God's spirit. And I wanted to just say this for a moment. The reason I brought up the devil possession thing is because people say, well, you have the Holy Spirit in you as a Christian, and God's Holy Spirit wouldn't dwell in the same body with a foul spirit, a devil. He already does. He dwells with your spirit. And it's as wicked and nasty as anything any devil ever wanted to come up with. I mean, we prove it all the time. We just don't pay attention to it. You know, any time God and God's word confronts you with something you ought to be doing and you say no, you're just acting like a devil. That's all the devil is. The devil is just somebody who says no to God. He's in rebellion against God. Well, when God tells you to do something, no. I'm just going to do it because as a preacher, I ought to do it. There are Christians who don't attend church, even though... And let's just talk about people right here in Worthington. There are people online who don't attend church because it's not a good one to go to. Well, I can say this with a clear conscience. Anyone within driving distance of this building ought to be here. I mean, you're sick, you have to work, stuff happens. But when you can be here, that's the rule. We had, you know, women with babies. And then there's always this thing of, you know, when can I go back to church? Because right now I just can't do it. And I've told her, I've told others that, you do it when you know you should be there. Between you and the Lord. But then there's been women who've used having babies as an excuse to not go to church. Or only go once in a while. You know who they're acting like? A devil. Yeah. And then there's men. Men who, you know, say they can't come to church because they just worn out from working. I'm tired. Well, you know what? That might be legit sometimes. I'm not judging anybody. I don't think anybody here would ever say that. I came up to them after they missed a church service and wagged my finger in their face and said, "You little devil." But I know good and well it happens. And I've known some cases where it did, where they should be here, and they're not because they're acting like a devil. God says you should be in church. I'm my own God at this moment. I'll do what I want to do. And that's turning on something you know you shouldn't be watching. Listen to something you shouldn't be listening to. Hanging out with people you shouldn't be hanging out with. Name it. You see, so all of us have that spirit in us. We all have to do battle with it. But if you think you're over that, then you already lost. Because you're a liar.
Yeah.
And if you live that way thinking, "I've already got this thing handled," you're a habitual liar. You're stuck. And that's most Christians I know. Most Christians I know personally. They do not change. They don't even want to change. They don't read the Bible to change. They don't read the Bible and say, "Lord, show me something that I need to change." They don't come to church and think, "I don't already know everything." They don't come to church and say, they sing it, "Search me, oh God." But then they don't sit and listen with a desire for God to confront them. And that's what we're talking about. We talk about the current events update and what's going on with this country. It's Christians that are the problem. Why? Because there's supposed to be about 50 million of them in this country. Well, if there are, there's most of them are in a spiritual coma. See? What's wrong with them? It's their spirit. We must face the reality of a fallen spirit controlling our hearts. That's what we have to face. Here it is. This is the battle royal. Are you ready to rumble?
Amen.
God says versus we says.
Ow. Ow.
God says, and then what? Who wins? Amen. Too often it's we and not he. Oh, there it is again. Scripture with scripture. We are in a fight to overcome our flesh. And our flesh, the problem is controlled by the heart. Look over Galatians 5:17, just a few pages. Just a few more minutes, we'll wrap this up. But Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. We read a little while ago in 6:7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." Well, look over 5, verse 17. If you didn't read it. "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." We don't have time to run all the references, but some of you remember like Romans 7. "I do that which I would not, and that which I would, I do not." I mean, you have this battle, and your spirit controls your heart, and if you follow your heart, you're in trouble. Your flesh then gets in the act. That's why Jesus went to the heart of the matter. You hate your brother, you're a murderer. Why? Because that's where murder springs from. That's what he's dealing with there. It's pictured at times like two dogs fighting for control. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
You have the white, pure little dog versus the mean, violent-looking black dog, wolf, wanting to devour you. Now, the battle going on inside you ladies, I have to say this, looks more like this. Which one's going to win, ladies? The cute little chihuahua? Of course, my personal battle looks more like this. He's a good-looking fella.
Looks like Biden on
steroids. So, no, it doesn't. It looks like bulldogs do not look like Joe Biden. You watch your mouth or have him removed. Comparable. Bulldogs to Joe Biden. Shame. I rebuke you. Anyway, the answer is actually in the previous verse in Galatians 5 in your Bible. Look at verse 16. There, read that. This I say then, walk in the what?
Spirit.
What's it? Capital?
Big S. Spirit.
Big S, see? All right, read again. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, walking in the Spirit isn't emotional. It's not that you walk around all the time looking like this. Hey, how are you? How many of you would sit out there and listen to me preach if that's how I look the whole time I'm preaching? And that's how a lot of people picture the Spirit-filled Christian. That's why Joel Osteen does it. It's a big act. He's been taught that you're supposed to smile the whole time you're talking, and so that's why he sounds like that. His face is stuck. He probably cries. Yeah. That it's not emotional. The Spirit is God's Spirit. And if you walk in the Spirit, well, how do you walk in the Spirit? You walk according to God's Word. Remember, Jesus said, these words that I speak, they are Spirit and they are life. Faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the
word of God.
So you feel, thy word have I hid in my
heart,
that I might not sin against thee. Over and over, this way, that way, the Bible says, fill yourself with my word and then let it control you.
Amen.
Doesn't have anything to do with rock bands and speaking in tongues and waving your arms and singing the same seven words 11 times. That's not the Spirit-filled life. Spirit-filled life is God's Word fills you, and you're so full of God's Word, you can't help it. You want to live by God's Word. It really is that simple. It's built upon the foundational truth of salvation, by the way. Look over at John chapter 3. Before the apostles even went out and made the transition from law to grace, Jesus was laying the foundations of the gospel of the grace of God, which Paul and the apostles all preached. John 3, he's dealing with Nicodemus, who I believe is a believer, and after Jesus is crucified, he helps take care of the body of Jesus. Nicodemus is asking, how can a man be born when he's old? Because Jesus said in verse 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But look at this down in verse 5. Read verse 5 with me. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And that is not talking about water baptism. And people get so messed up. Why? Because Scripture was Scripture. Context, context, context. What's the next verse tell you that the being born of water is? Being born of the water is when you're born in the flesh, you come out of your mother's womb. When your mother gave birth to you, she announced it by saying, my water has broke. Born of water. But if you're born in the flesh, then that which is born of the Spirit is what?
Spirit.
But you see, the first one's big S.
Right.
The second one's little S. Your spirit is wicked. It must be born again. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Read verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. See, that's where it has to start. People who try to walk in the Spirit without having been born again, they're just religious and lost. You have to be born again. You have the Spirit of God in you. Now your spirit, small s, can be controlled by the Spirit of God when you yield. But when you do not yield, you remain really your own God. That's the dangerous thing. That's where it gets ugly. You remain your own God when you are in control. If you want to be a Christian and live the Spirit-filled life, that means you got to let God be God. And how do you let God be God? You let Him call the shots. And that's why I said earlier, that means everybody who is in rebellion against God ought to hate your guts. Just like they did Jesus. And they did what to Jesus? They murdered him. What did they do to the apostles? What have they done to Christians for 2,000 years by the millions? Now, I'm not telling you to go out and try to get murdered. But I'm saying that, you know, there probably would be a lot more Christians in America being murdered if more Christians were doing what they're supposed to be doing. It's not something I'd be happy about, but listen, you get murdered as a Christian, you wake up in the presence of Jesus Christ. You see, so if Christians live with that reality all the time and realize, you know what, if I get murdered, I'm going to tell you, there's been a few times where I thought I might be murdered. Once, really early on, it was when I didn't know what was going on. I found myself right in the middle of a knife fight. And all I had to do is turn around and I'd be done. Another time I was held up at gunpoint. He was cracked out. I thought any second he's going to pull that trigger. Since then, there's been other times where I've been threatened. I told you about Jenny and I. People tried to run over us with their car. And all these things happen. We don't go out looking for it. I didn't have a sign that said, you know, try to hit me. But doing God's will and serving the Lord, and how many times, I'm not trying to badmouth anybody, but I hear people over the years say, ooh, that could be dangerous. Yeah, it could be. But you know what? That's not supposed to concern us. If it's doing what God tells us to do. Now, there are some neighborhoods I wouldn't go in without, you know, going as a group and having some maybe a detail. But you can do it that way. There's places I wouldn't go at night. I don't ever tell women to go off, especially by themselves, door knocking. I think a woman should go with a man if for no other reason. It just deters things. Use your brain. You can be smart about it. But you know, if you're doing things wisely and you're doing God's word and it gets you killed, see you in heaven. I mean, that's really the biblical way of looking at it.
Yep.
I'm not up here saying it's always the way I look at it. There's been times where I'm like, I better not do that. But you know what? We really shouldn't care. If it's doing God's word, God's will, think of how many people went off into missions and died. We honor them, and we're going to see them in heaven. So salvation is eternal, but the battle for daily control of our flesh continues. And that's why we read in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul said this, I die daily. I die daily. Not physically, he's talking about his spirit. He puts his spirit in subjection to God's spirit daily. That's the way we should start every day of our lives. Wake up every day and say, God, help me to put the old man away, to die to self, and to live for you. The one you feed wins. Is it the white puppy? Or the evil, vicious dog, wolf, whatever you want to call it. The one you feed wins. What are you feeding on? What are you spending your time listening to, watching, talking about, hanging out with, and all that? All that plays into it. As we read then in Galatians 6:7, continue verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. The only way to win is to be subject to the Word of God. And I'm not going to read that. If you submit to God's Word and will, you can experience the Spirit-filled life. James 4:6, we're going to pick up next week. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And that's where we pick it up. Next time on how to receive the grace of God in our practical daily living. All right. We'll close it there and turn to page 50 in the hymn book, if you would. We'll close with a song. Page 50. Fairest Lord Jesus. It really does, you know, We have to kind of hash it out like we did in this study. But really, it comes down to how that first verse ends. Thee will I cherish. Thee will I honor. Thou, my soul's glory, joy, and crown. And that's what it bleeds over into the next study about pride and humility. When you are proud, when you are all about you, God doesn't force himself on you. And you'll suffer the consequences of feeding the flesh. But when he's your focus and you cherish Jesus and honor Jesus, and it says, thou my soul's glory. In other words, Jesus is my soul's glory, joy, and crown. Do you live for people to pat you on the back and say you're wonderful? Or do you want people to, through you, say how wonderful Jesus is? Through you, glorify Jesus. It's not easy. We all get in our own way many times. But that really is what it comes down to. Let's go ahead and stand if you can and sing all four verses. Fairest Lord Jesus. Page 50. I'm sorry, I should have
turned. Fairest Lord Jesus, rule.
Seated and raise your hand if you have a prayer card, and Janie will collect those and bring them to the front. I guess we will say goodbye. If the onliners want to send your prayer requests in to bbfohio@protonmail.com. On three, one, two, three, see you here, there, or in the air. Good night, each and all.
Farewell. Have some tea.